US, thousands of pro-life campaigners have staged a march to Washington's Supreme Court. It's an annual event organized by the US Catholic bishops that commemorates the anniversary of the 1973 Roe v. Wade ruling by the Supreme Court that legalized abortion nationwide. The Catholic Church has long been one of the key voices speaking up for the rights of the unborn child. Cardinal Theodore McCarrick is the Archbishop Emeritus of Washington, and he spoke to me about the importance of this annual pro-life rally.
Well, of course, one of the most important things for us here in Washington, because we see these thousands and thousands of people coming, is the fact that the people of the United States have not given up on getting rid of this terrible scourge of abortion. When you see the huge crowds of young people, especially, at the masses in the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception here in Washington, and they come and they sing and they are very much people for life. It is this which gives us hope for the future, and so I think that as I look back on the millions and millions of babies whose lives have been destroyed, we have to have hope for the future. We have to look to the future and realize that our young people have not given up this cause. We don't know what the election will bring in November. We don't know what that will mean for the United States and its policies. But we do know this, that there are young people in the United States who have not given up the fight against abortion, the fight for life, and that is what gives us confidence.
Just ahead of this key anniversary in the pro-life calendar in the US, a new report showed that the number of abortions in America fell to 1.2 million in 2005. But despite the decline in the number of pregnancy terminations over the past few years, overall there have been roughly 50 million abortions in the United States since the Roe ruling in 1973. More than one-third of adult women are estimated to have had at least one termination. And surveys show that in 2005, over one in five pregnancies ended in abortion. A prominent pro-life campaigner in the US is Father Frank Pavone, director of the organization Priests for Life, that seeks to promote the church's teachings in favor of life. He told me that despite being legalized 35 years ago, the practice of abortion remains a sensitive and polarizing issue in the US that often takes center stage in the nation's politics.
Although this procedure has been legal in America since 1973 throughout all 9 months of pregnancy, it still has not settled in to the American landscape, into the conscience of people. The fact that it's still making headlines, is still a key point of debate among the candidates, is a very good sign that the people are still very much aware that this is something that should not be tolerated.
Are you hopeful that ultimately the Roe versus Wade ruling that legalized abortion in the U.S. will be overturned in the near future?
I'm completely confident that it will be reversed even sooner than many of us anticipate, because we already see it being eroded. It has been eroded and weakened by some Supreme Court decisions, including the one in 2007 in April regarding partial birth abortion. It continues to be eroded in public opinion. People in America have never agreed with a policy that allows abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. And the more they recognize that in fact is what Roe v. Wade unleashed on us as a society, the more they oppose it. I had the pleasure some 9 years ago of receiving into the Catholic Church Norma McCorvey, who was the Jane Roe of this Roe v. Wade decision, and her conversion is a symbol of really what is happening in every segment of our society.
But despite, as you say, this growing opposition towards abortion, I mean, it is a very common practice. According to a recent U.S. survey, worldwide, one in five pregnancies ends in abortion. I mean, these are really high figures, aren't they?
Yes, it's very, very alarming. And that's one of the things that we use educationally to wake people up about this issue, because people are uniformly very alarmed at the statistics, even those who call themselves pro-choice. And when you put together the frequency of it with the statistics showing how common it is, one of the only explanations is simply this, that while most people believe it's wrong, they believe it's a private wrong. Yes, I'm pro-life, I would never have an abortion, but if somebody else has one, that's none of my business. One of the things we work to do through the church and through the pro-life movement is to help people understand it is their business. Just like helping the poor, the drug addicted, those dying of AIDS, those in war-torn parts of the world, it is our business to help the unborn and their parents because ours is the business of love.
When it comes to abortion, one could argue that in the US there's much more perhaps awareness. It's a more contentious issue, say, compared to Europe. Political candidates talk about it. Their pro-life views are courted, or shall we say, at least they're looked at. Yet at the same time, looking at this same survey, it said that in Western Europe they're 23 abortions for every 100 live births, whilst in North America there are 33 abortions for every 100 live births. Why is it higher? Why are there more abortions going on in North America compared to Europe when it is a more religious nation?
As you point out, it is much more contentious in America. And one of the reasons for that is not only that the pro-life movement is more highly organized, is more diversified. There are many more groups doing so many different things. But it's also because the abortion industry is much more aggressive. And that is one of the factors that accounts for these higher abortion rates. The abortion industry in the United States has a very, very aggressive, well-coordinated, well-funded marketing campaign, public relations efforts. Those who work in the abortion clinics as counselors, they are trained on how to sell an abortion. These groups are very politically active. And unlike in many other countries where if a pro-life doctor, for example, wanted to go into an abortion clinic and offer alternatives, the clinic will often welcome such doctors. In America, they can't get near the front door. So it's a much, much more high-tension operation. And with all that marketing and advertising, this accounts for a lot of these higher numbers.
Priests for Life was, of course, founded with the express aim of promoting the pro-life teachings of the church. Is it at times a rather uphill struggle? And if not, can you share with us some of perhaps you see as your greatest advancements or triumphs?
Well, in one way, time has been on our side and continues to be in this sense that the more the years go on, the more we're finding priests who grew up with the pro-life movement and in many cases found their vocation through the pro-life movement. That makes our job easier because when we stand in front of a group of priests to give them a seminar or when we sit with them one-on-one in their rectories or are invited to preach in their pulpits, these are priests who are already on fire for the pro-life cause. They know the terminology of the movement, and they're ready to receive the kind of encouragement and resources we give them and the fellowship that we have with them. So that is, my work is much easier today than it was when I started back in 1993, for that reason. We have also, because of our visibility throughout the United States especially, but increasingly around the world, we're able to get through more open doors in terms, for example, of meeting with our government officials, talking with people, even on the other side of this issue. And one of the great advances we've made is to be able to have some high-level dialogues with people who are and have been abortion advocates and abortionists. In this way, we not only get a lot of interesting and helpful information, but we are showing forth that dialogue of salvation that the church always speaks of and that Jesus himself showed as he ate with the tax collectors and the sinners.
I know you also work in other countries. Turning, for instance, to the UK, which last year marked the 40th anniversary of the passing of its abortion law there. Yet in that time, the number of abortions in Britain has increased tenfold. So something's going wrong, isn't it? Why are so many abortions being performed?
Yes, the very legality of abortion increases the numbers. In every country where it's legalized, you see this phenomenon because people are generally unwilling to break the law. And the abortion advocates like to say that if we make it illegal, women are going to do everything they need to do. They'll crawl over broken glass in order to get the abortions. That does not prove to be true when, for example, even laws that make it more difficult to get abortion, although not prohibiting it, are introduced in various areas. We see the numbers actually go down and women tending to choose life. So the very legality of it is the primary factor that opens the door for more people to say, hey, this is an option, maybe I should use it, and for other people to pressure them into doing it. Because the first thing we need to make clear about abortion is it's not a matter of freedom of choice for these women. It's a matter of people who feel they have no freedom and no choice. And when everyone around them is saying your only choice is abortion and pushing them in that direction precisely because, hey, this is a legal option, we find then that the numbers skyrocket every place where it's made available.
That was Father Frank Pavone, director of the organization Priests for Life. And you also heard the voice of Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, Archbishop Emeritus of Washington.